You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, it was quite a start to the new congressional session this week. We'll talk with Representative Ron Kind of Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District.
First, the National Alliance on Mental Illness says that about 1 in 5 American adults deal with mental illness each year. As scientists and doctors try to get a better handle on things like depression and anxiety, there's a growing body of research that says that there could be a link between the immune system and mental health.
Western medicine has a history of looking at the mind and body separately, but our next guest says the connection between the two becomes clear when you look at one community in particular, the Amish community. Eric Hasseltine joins us now to tell us more. He's a neuroscientist interested in body-mind medicine. Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thanks.
Well, on your blog, Eric, you wrote about some new research that looked at, and we're going to, before we get to mental illness, we're going to stop at asthma and asthma rates in the Amish community, in one Amish community in particular. What did we learn from that about our immune systems?
We learned that in our first year of life, it's important to be exposed to so-called old friend bacteria that are representative of the ones that we had back in evolutionary history before civilization developed. So these are various bacteria, fungi, viruses, and associated toxins. And in the modern industrial world, we're too clean. So kids don't get exposed to this. And the immune system is a lot like the nervous system in that it needs to be trained with exposure to the environment in order to be able to cope with that environment. And so if you don't get that exposure in about the first year of life, your immune system has two problems. One is that it overreacts in some cases, such as asthma and other inflammatory autoimmune processes. And it underreacts in other cases where infection and fighting off even cancer can be a consequence of not having been exposed to the right stuff early on.
So this study looked at Amish children and their asthma rates. Now, they had these friendly bacteria, these fellow travelers that we've had through evolution. They were exposed to that. What did we see in asthma rates?
Well, what we saw is that when compared to the Hutterites, which are a very similar religious group that's out west, who have similar lifestyle, similar community, similar religious support amongst the community. But the one difference is that they do industrial farming, whereas the Amish typically have a barn right next to the house. And so there are pigs and cattle and sheep and all kinds of things right next to the house. And the stuff from those animals goes into particulates that then get into house dust. Whereas in the Hutterite community, you don't have barns next to homes. And so what they found was that the asthma rates amongst the Amish were about half the national average, just over half. And for the Hutterites, they were actually a little bit above the national average. And their conclusion was that exposure to Amish dust reduces your chance of getting asthma and other autoimmune disease. They went further than that in that they actually took some dust from the Amish homes in mattresses, and they inoculated mice with them and found that when later challenged with their immune systems, the mice did better when they had inhaled Amish dust.
Now, it seems like we could maybe go too far in either direction. We're too hygienic in some ways. We're not giving our immune systems this exposure. But on the other hand, there are horrible bacteria out there. If we're exposed to them at an early age, we can get diseases. How do we draw the line between enough hygiene to prevent the bad stuff, not too much to prevent the stuff that's going to help us down the road?
Well, fortunately, we have an existence proof of what works, and it's the Amish. They're very healthy. So without knowing how much dirtier you could get and still suffer no ill effects, you could just point to that as a pretty good balance between too little and too much. So fortunately, we have a guide that says, you know, if you do this, you're going to be healthier.
Talking to Eric Hasseltine, neuroscientist, looking at exposure to bacteria, our immune systems, and mental illness. And let's get into that. So that seems like a big leap, Eric. What does mental illness have in common with something that might cause asthma?
Some of the latest research into mood disorders in particular, like depression, anxiety, and seasonal affective disorder, show a strong link between inflammation and those mood disorders. And the causal mechanism is thought to be compounds that the immune system puts out called cytokines that trigger the brain to act depressed. And evolutionary theorists believe that when you're sick, it's a good thing to go away from other people so you don't infect them or get infected. If you have an open wound that's caused inflammation, it's good that you don't go around and get more bugs into it. And so evolution has decided that acting depressed when you have high inflammation is a good thing for your survival and that of people around you. And so when you have inflammation from asthma, psoriasis, arthritis, and so forth, it produces a lot of these cytokines, which can contribute to depression. On the other hand, things that have anti-inflammatory properties also often are antidepressants. The traditional SSRIs, you know, like Prozac, for example, those have anti-inflammatory properties. And a new insight is maybe that's what's helping the depression more than the, you know, prolongation of serotonin in the synapse. So, you know, this is, it's kind of a fad. It's a hot meme right now. And so will it persist? I don't know, but I think there's definitely something there.
So the potential here is that a poorly trained immune system behaves as though it's sick, even though it's not, and causes conditions ranging from asthma and psoriasis, you mentioned, to maybe contributing to certain kinds of mental illness. Am I connecting the dots right there?
Exactly. And it's a double whammy, because on the one hand, if you have an overactive immune system, you get inflammation, like your immune system attacks your joints. On the other hand, if you have a underperforming immune system, you get infection, which also leads to inflammation. So either way, you get inflammation, and you get the effect on the brain, which could exacerbate or trigger or maybe even in some cases cause mental illness. I have been doing big data analysis of, believe it or not, Google search interest in various topics and correlating it with research on epidemiology. And I found, interestingly, that one of the biggest culprits in inflammation, called C-reactive protein, has almost the same cycle as seasonal affective disorder. And so we have tools now for looking at these effects that we never had before. And believe it or not, Google Trends is a fascinating tool to do that.
Yeah, what would have to be the next step in the research chain to figure out if, yeah, in fact, too much hygiene, bad immune system is contributing to mental illness? What needs to happen next?
Well, I think we need to dive a lot deeper on at least epidemiology. I was able to get only scant data on Amish mental health. And there are a lot of confounding variables. You know, they have strong communities, strong faith, all those things that help your emotional state. But they also, they have lower rates of mental illness as far as we can tell. So I think increasing the N, getting much higher sample sizes of populations, then looking not just at the Amish, but looking at the rural-urban gradient is another thing. So I think the short answer to your question is study a lot more subjects.
As far as what we can do with our behavior now, since it sounds like this is probably years away before we're connecting the dots enough to come up with treatments, but are there lessons here for kids needing, you know, more exposure, more proximity to animals?
Yes. Research has suggested, and I want to be clear here, that I'm not saying that you should, you know, throw your kid in a pond of muck, you know, and we have to be cautious. You know, these ideas come along and we tend to overreact to them. So I want to caution that,
sure,
that it's not simple, but the following things have been shown to correlate with better immune health. One is having a pet in the first year of life, a cat or a dog or a rat, and having that around the kid. Having older siblings that are going out there and getting a lot of germs or being in a daycare center. Those things. And then, of course, if you're Amish, if you're raised on a farm, being around a lot of animals is generally a good thing. So those are the kind of preventative things that you can do. It's not clear whether there's a kind of critical period or limited window in which the exposure can benefit you. It seems like there might be, confined to infancy. But after the kid has gone through perhaps a hygienic environment, there are things that you can do. One of them is to get lots of sunlight. Even dermatologists are starting to realize that there are benefits of UV radiation that they didn't understand before, and one of them is reducing inflammation. Now, I'm not saying you should go out there and get too much sun exposure, but perhaps making sure you get the right amount of sun exposure. Another is getting good sleep and having a very regular cycle, because your immune system goes up and down during the day. And if you get out of whack, like you do shift work or you eat at night or you have a lot of blue light at night to simulate sunlight, you're going to screw up your circadian clock, screw up your immune system, and likely increase the chances that you're going to get a mental disorder. And then, as I said, you know, taking anti-inflammatories, again, I want to caution, there are obvious side effects you have to weigh against the benefit. But just something as simple as aspirin or other, you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories could be a route.
Eric, thanks a lot for joining us today. Very interesting.
Thank you.
This is Dr. Eric Hasseltine. He's a neuroscientist interested in body-mind medicine. He talked to us about a link between a strong immune system and mental health, and this is making me feel better about when my kids are little and there's cat hair everywhere and the carpets they're playing on, and I felt guilty. I'm a terrible parent. Turns out I was a great parent.
Right. Same here with dogs and cats and two fish. Well, probably the fish don't come into it so much.
I don't know if the fish.
So
maybe.
But still.
Jury's out on the fish.
Coming up, Wisconsin Congressman Ron Kind joins us to talk about the start of the new congressional session, Russian hacking, and more. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.